not by power, but God, it's by your Spirit. So Father God, right now we welcome you into this place. Lord, I speak a blessing over your children this morning. God, only you know exactly what they're facing. And God, you care about what's going on with them. So Lord, right now, I thank you that you are meeting them right where they're at. Right where they're at. Somebody hear me. God is meeting you right where you're at. You don't got to pretty yourself up for God. You don't got to clean your life up just to come and see him. Let me tell you something. He's with you all the time. And he's meeting you today right where you're at. Lord, I thank you for this service. Right now I speak and I bind up any hindrance that would try to come. Lord, I thank you for your word. I'm not going to ask you to bless it, but God, I ask that you'd bless these people. God, I ask that you would right now open up their understanding for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. I need two very quick volunteers. If you're a quick person, I need you. Frank, you're one of those quick people. Tom, you can, okay. Where's Brooke? Brooke, are you quick? All right, here, girls, Frank, let these teenagers do it. Frank, let Brooke do it. Change my mind. That's what women do. Okay, girls, Kimber, you're on these two things. Brooke, you're on these two. Go through and give everybody a piece of that candy. And do it as quick as you can. And don't forget the guys in the sound booth. How is the church this morning? Are we good? Well, good. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I thank God for his word. I'm excited about his word for this morning. And we have had a beautiful week that we're coming out of. Maybe you didn't have a good week. And for that person, I would just say, you know what? You've got a fresh start to a fresh week full of fresh anointing, fresh favor, fresh blessing, fresh provision. The Word of God tells you that you can declare a thing and it come to pass. And you say, well, how do I know what to declare? Ask God what he would like you to speak out of your mouth. Ask God. While they're working, go with me to Exodus chapter 20 and we're going to look at verse 20. And as Pastor Angelo said, if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you at this point in the service to turn it on vibrate or silent. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it really means. As of this moment, there should be no phone interruption. I'm going to invite you to be fully present in this service. You know, most people cannot go 1 hour without their phone. It's not that they don't want to. They just literally, Angel, they cannot because they have fashioned their life to have it and look at it about every 2 seconds. I'm going to encourage you not to be that way. That's a challenge for me. Okay? But I'm going to ask you to rise to the occasion and to have that phone off. Now I'm going to also say, feel free to eat your candy. I realize I just handed out about 100 distractions. Crunchy, 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 crunchy paper. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to hand some things out. I love Moni. She gets me out of all my cooking errors. I've had a lot of them throughout the years, let me just tell you. The worst one I had was trying to see if she would put, she could make mashed potatoes into gravy somehow magically. That's the only thing she's not been able to do for me. And I really cannot fault her for that. But they loved the mashed potatoes for breakfast, I will say. That was I'm going to keep this one. Does anybody notice anything about that wrapper? Zero sugar. Zero sugar. Every piece of candy that you got today has zero sugar in there. And there are messages where you can put a little bit of sugar on there. And there's messages where you can't put any sugar there. This is that message. This is that message. There's going to be zero sugar in this message today. Zero. Because what I'm going to preach about is one of the most holiest things to preach about, and that is the reverence of God. The reverence of God. And reverence, if somebody said, what do you see a lack of? There's about five things that I see a lack of. Today we're going to talk about one of them, and it's at the top, and that's reverence. People have no reverence anymore. They don't have reverence anymore. They don't have reverence for anything. And we're going to talk today because I'm going to just explain to you. And I'm going to try to do this in the most humblest, sweetest way that I can. But I have no doubt that as the message goes forth, I have a very high way. Yes, Billy. I'm fixing to explain it because it's important that you understand it. There's a high probability of me offending someone with this message. And I'm going to explain this to you because what I am creating and what I am trying to grow is not church hoppers. Because see, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says, now God has placed, not me, not President Trump, not anybody. God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. And that is talking about the body of Christ. That is also talking about individual churches. See, because a lot of people think, well, you can go to church and church is church. And I'm going to tell you that's incorrect. I could give you chapter and verse for that. That's incorrect. Because the Word says God will put you in the church that you're supposed to be in. And the pastor's job is not to make you happy. Although, here's what I can say, and I am guilty as guilty gets over this. I try to make everybody happy and fail miserably. And the more I try to make people happy, the less happy that they truly are with me. But my job is not to make people happy. It's to produce people that are holy. Holy. So go with me to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 20. Billy, you asked a very good question. Reverence is intense, worshipful, awed, respect, and reverence is godly fear. It is a godly honor. It is a godly respect. It is a godly, I stand in awe of God. God is God and he is God alone. It is a deep, 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 deep reverence, a respect, an honor, a glory, a magnification of God. And one of the main ways, if not the main way, that we show reverence is through what we do. I don't really care about what people say anymore because very few people actually do what they say they're going to do. People will say they're going to do something and that will go in one ear and out the other with me because I don't really care what they say. I care what they do. You will know them by the fruit that they bear. And you're all bearing fruit. And so what we have to do as believers, if we really love God, we have to seek God and we have to say, God, how do I serve you the best way? How do I, you know, you can offend God. Did you know that? You can offend God. I want to have people in here that understand who God really is and they have reverence for God. So we're going to talk about it today. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. And here is Moses. And the Lord has made his presence known to him and the people. He is scribing on the Ten Commandments. And here he is. And in Exodus chapter 20, you can imagine being with your leader, your pastor, and here comes God, and he begins to write on these stone tablets, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this. And you're just, they were horrified. They were absolutely horrified. And it says, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Now, I'm going to read that again, but before I do, I'm going to explain something to you. It is very important that you have a translation of the Bible that you can understand, because if you read the Bible from front to finish, but you understood nothing, it's not going to do you any good. You need to be able to understand what you're reading. And I will tell you that in more places than not, when you read the word fear, and it's talking about fear God or fear this, the word that is interchangeable with that is reverence. Reverence. So I'm going to read that verse to you again. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God or the reverence of God will be with you, because it has a job to do, and that job is to keep you from sinning. When a person, when a believer has reverence inside of their life and inside of their heart, there it's in there, and that just the reverence alone keeps the believer from sinning a lot of the time. Why? How many of you are married? How many of you, you still love your spouse? You better, all your hands better be up, okay? That was a loaded question. Let me explain this verse. There's certain things that as a married person, I'm not going to do because I love Frank. And there are also certain things that I do, and I only do them because I love Frank. There's things that I do, Moni, that I don't like to do. Working outside and being outside and doing the garden for him, I don't get any enjoyment out of that, but I do it because I love him. There's things that I do because I love him. And then, at the same token, there's things that I don't do because I love him. That is reverence. That is a form of reverence. When you love God so much and you adore him, you have a place, a special place in your heart, and it's only for him. There are certain things, because of the fear of God and the reverence of God, that you will not do because you honor God. You have respect for him. There are things that a person that is a believer will not do because they love God. See, everybody can say that they love God, but see, your actions will always speak louder than what you say. There's things that you want to do that you won't do, and it's out of a pure, I love God and I'm not going to do that. So the word here, it says that the fear of God will be with you, and that will keep you from sinning. And the word fear here is also interchangeable with reverence. Reverence, a deep respect. I have a deep respect for God, and it stays with me all the time, and that has been something that has kept me from sinning a lot. That is reverence. So if you lack it, see, the word says if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. He's going to give you that. The word also says you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we can be irreverent and not even know it. Go with me now to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. I have noticed in society that we have put a haughty, arrogant spirit in the place where reverence should be. We have put a haughty, arrogant, I'm better than that spirit in the place where reverence should be. In a place where we should be reverent, we're like, oh, well, that don't apply to me because of this, this, and this. We figure out why it applies to everybody else, but we're okay to keep on doing our nonsense. See, that doesn't work for God. I am going to Leviticus chapter 19. Now, we're going to talk a lot about today, and we're going to talk a lot in the Old Testament, but we're also going to talk in the New Testament some, because the Word of God says that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching. And here is what I have learned about humanity. And I see this in the Word. How many of you've ever been a part of something and you heard some of the craziest rules that you've ever heard and you're thinking, why did they say that? I'm going to tell you why they said it, because somebody has done that and they had to make a rule about it. Okay? The other day, on Wednesday, I said, do not start eating them strawberries or that fruit or those bananas or whatever it is that you could possibly be eating and leave it on the ground in a pile for me to have to clean up before Wednesday service. And everybody looked at me like I had seven heads. And here's why I said it, because somebody had done it. In my world, I'm sitting here thinking, who does that? Who sits there and puts stuff in their mouth and makes a pile for somebody else to have to clean up? To me, that's gross. Is that gross to anybody else? Or okay, that's gross. And it's disrespectful. But see, people don't have reverence. And it's not because they're mean, bad people. It's because they don't have a lot of knowledge about what God expects from them. And we see, and God here has to spell it out for people. Because let me just tell you, from the beginning of time to present day, you have to spell it out for people. God has to spell it out for me all the time, and he has to just continue to spell it out. Because people are always coming up with what I like to call shenanigans. Shenanigans. And God spells things out in his word. And we're going to look at just a couple verses. Once again, he's speaking with Moses. He's telling people. So we're in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So God is here and he's saying, Moses, you tell my people to be holy. And then he gives them a reason, because I'm holy. See, we have a holy God that wants a holy people. And he had to go and he had to say, tell my people that I expect them to be holy. We have haughty. We have all sorts of H words for people, but holy is very few and far between now. And I want to tell you that you're looking at a very relevant, modern pastor, but God's word never changes. God is still expecting holiness out of his children, and he will never change his mind about that. And he is telling us, and he told them, he said, be holy because I'm holy. See, a lot of times something isn't connecting right in our life, and it's because we've had an area of our life where we refuse to be holy. We've refused to be holy. And see, you can do everything right and have that one thing. And God's wanting that one thing out of your life that you won't give him. And we want to blame God. God, why didn't you do this? God, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you answer this prayer? Always go back to the thing that you won't give God, because I promise you, that is the thing that's holding you up. God wants your life. He wants everything. He wants all them failures, all the embarrassments, all the successes. He wants it all. Why? Because he wants to use them. If you're feeling bad about something you did 10 years ago, I encourage you to give that to God, because he wants to use that. God can use everything, and he wants to. But he tells us, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, verse 3. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Now, I'm reading verses today because I'm going to just tell you something. The Bible is still everything that we need. It is not outdated. Each of you must respect his mother and his father. Parents, if you really love your children, and I'm working so hard on this, if you love them, people say, oh, I love my kid, and then they don't have their kid in church. Everybody go, mm-mm. You really love your kid? You raise them the way God told you to raise them. You raise them in his house. You raise them with those morals. You raise him knowing right from wrong. You make them respect you, and that is not easy to do. That is not easy to do. And then the second part of that verse, it says, and you must observe my Sabbaths because I am the Lord your God. The whole world thinks that everything else is more important than the Sabbath. It's okay to have them sports then. It's okay to do this then. It's okay to do that then. I asked somebody the other day, let me just tell you, can I just keep it real? Because I'm going to, whether or not you vote for me to do it or not. I'm going to just keep this as real as it's going to be because I done gave you your zero sugar candy and I done gave you a little description of how the service was going to go. I asked somebody the other day. Somebody said, I want to preach and I want to do this and I think that I'm this and I think that I'm that. Okay. All right. Asked them where they're at. Well, I didn't feel like coming. You won't be preaching at this church anytime soon.
That's right.
Why? Because you know what? That's not a good enough answer for God. Because if Jesus did what he felt, he would never have died on the cross for us because he asked God the Father multiple times, Father, if there's any way possible, will you take this cup and let it pass from me? But then nonetheless, God, your will be done. And we have the audacity to tell God what we feel like doing. It's irreverent. See, when God asks you for your faithfulness, he's never going to back up from that. Well, I don't feel like it. You know what I said to that person? I didn't put any sugar on that either. Because I'm praying to God that when we get up to heaven, God can at least say, you had a pastor that told you exactly how it is. I said, you know what? You're old enough in God and you've been saved long enough that you know that you don't go off of what you feel. You should have been in church today. You will not be preaching here.
Amen.
You think it's easy to tell people how the cow ate the cabbage? It is not. It's not easy to tell people things that they don't want to hear. But you know what is easy? Doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And then you know what's hard? Is seeing people that you love fail at life miserably because they cannot get things right in their life. So it tells us, observe my Sabbath. Here's what I would encourage you to do. And this is not a tongue lashing. This is because God has convicted my heart that he wants more reverence in this church. And if every single person that is present today decided, I don't like that place no more, we're all quitting. You know what? Here's the one person in this church that I never want to quit. Do you know who that is? It's God. It's God. It's God. See, because if God quits this church, we're all in trouble. I am trying to not offend him. And that's not easy either because sometimes not offending God is offending the whole congregation. And that's going to fall where it falls. But I tell you, when you are offended in church at your pastor, most of the time that is conviction. And only mature believers can differentiate the difference. Oh, Pastor Kelly, she started talking about, I'm going somewhere else. You'll never be blessed hopping from one place to the next. Why? Because it ain't how God operates. You don't think I've ever wanted to quit the church? I sure have. I never gave myself that option. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 4, do not turn to idols or make gods. Do not turn to idols or make gods. Here's what I would ask you. What have you made a God out of in your life? What have you made a God out of in your life? Let me explain to you how you identify a God in your life. Whatever you put before God. Whatever the most important thing to you is. There's people, they never make a church service because they feel like their kid's sport is God. Let me explain this to you, and this is not going to get me brownie points. That is ungodly. If you don't give your child and your grandchildren Christ first, the world is going to give them everything that you don't want. And then when they grow up and they act like the world and they act like hell on wheels and you're sitting there crying and boo-hooing to God about why he's not doing anything, God's going to bring you back to how you raised them. And for people that put the fear of God in their children, they have a platform to stand on, and it is a promise of God that says, train up a child. See, it's not easy to train things. Train them up in the way that they should go. Because when they're older, they won't depart from it. You know how many times I've tried to depart from my childhood and what the fear of God that my parents put in? Many times. But I wasn't able to be successful at that because there was a living God that every time I tried to do that, he literally got there and he raised a standard in my life and he created things, blockades for me that I couldn't go and live like the devil because, see, my mom and daddy done what they were supposed to do. And if we don't have the courage to stand up and to say, this is wrong, little Johnny, then guess what? You're going to visit them somewhere. You can visit them in their new house. You can visit them at their great job, in their wonderful car, or you can visit them in the great state of Arkansas prison system. But you're going to make that choice. And I know that this is strong today. You know what? The children of God need strong messages like this. Because this is called sobering everybody up. The Word tells us, be sober and be vigilant because you do have an adversary. You do have an enemy. And if you're drunk on all your problems and you're constantly thinking, woe is me, you're just going to sin. But if you got some reverence going on in your life, there's going to be some, the voice of truth say, you shouldn't be doing that. Glory for His Word. Let's go to verse 11 and 12. I love the Lord in these verses because he literally spells it out. What we would think should be common knowledge, he spells it out. Why? Because people were doing exactly what he says not to do. So God himself felt the need to point out what was not acceptable. Verse 11. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. We should never say, I swear to God. That should not be a phrase that is coming out of your mouth. I say it too. This message is for me too, okay? I'm going to correct that. You should never say GD. You should never say that. If I have a television show and I even hear that, I'm like repulsed by it. See, these are things that God is not going to change his mind about. And you're thinking, well, why would pastor of all things to preach about want to preach about this? I mean, let me just tell you, God told me to preach this message. I would prefer to give you sweet, sugary candy, but see, God said zero sugar today. So we're going to go with what God said. Yep. Let's go now to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 30. This is just a few verses down. It says, observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Once again, church days are holy days. You'll always come up with a reason to not be in church. And do I think that there are reasons every now and again to not be? Yes, I do. And if you are sick, that is one of them. Here's what some of us do, though. I know somebody, and I dearly love this person. They have grown leaps and bounds, but here's what they do. They wanted to call into their job or they wanted to call in and say, hey, pastor, I'm not going to be here. They'd get themselves a ball, they'd get in their bathroom and they'd say, Pastor, I'm throwing up. I'm throwing up. Or they'd go stand in the ditch. Pastor, I'm in the ditch. See, ultimately, I'm not a dictator. And I can't make people do the right thing. But I can point out from the pulpit what the Word of God says. Because, see, I'm the one that people come to when things aren't going right in their life and people want some answers from God. And usually the answer is something that they didn't do. A place where they had no reverence for God. And nobody likes to hear these messages, but you know what? They're necessary. They're necessary. So it says, observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Let me tell you somebody that I miss. The man that used to sit right there in that reserved chair. If I could have one person back, that would be the person. And that's Brother Charles Jackson. If he saw a kid running in the sanctuary, he would have an outright cow. And he would say, I'm gonna pop a knot in your head, or I'm going to jerk your chain, or I'm going to... He would always have some type of threat. But what he was getting to is, you're going to honor God in this church. So you can't even say nothing to people's kids anymore. And let me just explain one thing to you. And it's because I love you so much that I want you and your kids and everybody to be reverent. A couple weeks ago, there was something wrong with the sound. And I walked my happy butt back to the sound booth. And I asked them what was going on, and it was not anything of their problem. And as I was coming back, I saw a teenager with their phone during praise and worship, with their phone out, and they were playing a game on their phone while praise and worship was going on. And I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to get behind the pulpit when I say it, because that means I'm real serious. I'm going to get my serious face on. If I see your kid while the stuff is going on, while the praise and worship is going on, while the message is going on, and they're on their phone, and they're, I'm not talking about Cash's age. I'm talking about your teenagers and your kids that know better. And that kid is on their phone, I'm going to correct your kid. If that offends you and you want to leave, you need to go. Amen. Because I'm going to explain this to you. The living God requires reverence. And if you won't teach it to your kid, let me explain how this works. Because, see, I go to the jail every Monday. And they will begin to tell your kid when they can eat. They're going to tell your kid when they can have a drink. They're going to tell your kid what they're going to eat. They're going to tell them when the guards come up, you better stand your little happy butt up, and you're going to honor and respect and reverence these guards. You're going to get behind this line, and you're going to stand there till we tell you not to. You're going to listen, and you're going to shut up. See? If you love your kids so much that you won't correct them, you're going to position them to be corrected by people that you don't know and that you don't like, and they're not going to feed them meatloaf. They're going to feed them bologna. Yeah. Every single day. Every day. And see, then you're going to be crying your eyes out because you don't know why God ain't helping your kid. And He's going to refer you back to every single time you would not make them honor God. I looked at that kid and I said, what are you doing? What are you doing right in the middle of praise and worship? You put that phone up and you reverence and you honor God, and don't you let me see you doing that again. Now see, I should not have to say that. Because let me tell you, I've got two kids that if I'm not right up on them, they're going to be pulling some stuff too. If you're sitting by a kid, somebody got offended and they were like, so-and-so, their kid is watching Netflix during a Sunday service. Let me just explain this to you. I can't see everything that goes on and preach and try to move in the Holy Spirit and try to flow and read and do this and do that. If you're sitting by a kid and that's what they're doing, you get on to them. And if you don't have the guts to do it, then don't cry to me about it. Because, see, I can't do it all. But what I'm telling you is what God wants in this place. And not every, you think every pastor in this community would stand up on a Sunday morning and speak like this? No, they wouldn't, because they care more about people sitting in the pew than they care about anything else. And sitting in the pew is the bare minimum of what I really care about. I really care about people in heaven. Because if the place is packed and none of them people go to heaven, all I did was for nothing. See, the Word of God says that times will get to where people, they prophesy smooth words to me. Tell me something that I want to hear, Pastor Kelly. Well, I ain't got that today, but I got something you need to hear. So go with me to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 32. Carson, you should be following along in your Bible. It says, rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere or reverence your God. I am the Lord. Once again, I don't know what happened with honor the elderly, show respect to your elders. I don't know what happened with that, but that's not a thing anymore, it seems like, but it's going to be a thing here. See, it should be a thing in your house. When you got somebody and they're going in the door, if they're older than you, you should open that door and you should let them go in first. We should learn how to do what the Bible says, because the Bible's not all, oh, you know, the Bible has life skills, which people lack. Anybody notice that? People are lacking a lot of life skills and common sense. It's because we care more about letting the kid think that they're a cat than we care about anything else. If I'm going to tick people off, I'm going to tick everybody off. We're going for all of it today. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Now, let me explain something to you. You can't go kill your kid if they do something like that to you. But let me tell you what. April's going, I'm not telling you to kill your kid up in here. There's been a culture change, okay? We don't live in that culture where we're slaughtering people for not doing the right thing. But do we all agree that it's inappropriate to allow our children to cuss and then to cuss at their parents? Okay, let me explain something to you. If you allow them to do that, that is not a good thing. See, a lot of the, why are we speaking about certain things today? We're talking about reverencing God. And one of the ways that we reverence God is we do what he tells us to do. And a lot of what God tells us to do is he explains to us what living an honorable life is. And a lot of the people that I deal with are broken-hearted parents of older children or older kids. They're in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Oh, I'm going to disrespect my parent, but then I'm going to expect them to still pay for all my dumb decisions. Well, that's a problem. There are more children being raised by grandparents than their actual children. There are older people having to still keep their job instead of enjoy retirement because they raised a dumb kid. Now they got a full-blown dumb thing going on. And there isn't a prettier way to say that. See, sometimes the message ain't going to come across pretty and sugared up. Because, see, the change does not start in Washington. The change starts in individual churches with a pastor that has the guts enough to say, we're going to be reverent, and you're going to require reverence in your family. Because if you don't, you're going to be real uncomfortable when you come. lot of people are brokenhearted by the time they have conversations with me. And it breaks my heart. It's not wrong to require respect and honor and reverence. Let's go to Psalms chapter 22, verse 22. Reverence is an intense, worshipful, awed respect, a godly fear. Psalms chapter 22. Verse 22. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord or reverence the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him. All you descendants of Israel. And here's verse 24, and it tells us why. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. See, a part of reverence for God is you're not ashamed to tell people about God. What does it say? I will declare your name to my brothers. I will talk about God to everybody. I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to bring your name up. I'm not ashamed to tell people about you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I had somebody give me an offering envelope, and they said, I just wanted to give this to you because I don't want my family to see me that I'm giving. I'm going to explain something to you. This is also not going to get me any brownie points, but we're going for the gold here today. Your family should see you doing the right thing. Your family should see you tithing. They should see you praying. They should see you with your hands up praising the living God. They should see you hold your peace and hold your tongue. People get so offended when the church talks about money. Oh, all they want is your money. Let me tell you, no, that's all Walmart wants. And you still go there. Amazingly enough, they haven't offended you so much when you go to the cashier and they expect you to pay for what you got. Yep. You just explain something to you. And then I'm going to get up off it because I don't like people leaving. And people get offended, and I hardly ever talk about money. But I will say this, and I'm going to say it from the pulpit. You must be a tither. That's hard for people to get. The last thing that gets saved on people is their wallet. Oh, all they want is your money. Nope. All I want for you is to have that covenant with God. It is very clear where the funds go in this church. Where do they go? The community. Feeding people. Helping people. You say, well, Pastor, I can't tithe. No, let me explain something to you. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. You cannot afford not to. Well, I can't release my whole tithe. You need to start somewhere. You need to start somewhere. You're going to never outgive God. When I was growing up, I don't even think Dad remembers half of certain things, but I remember them because I was a kid, and I remember certain things. And there was a period of time that we did not have health insurance. Because the man of the family and the man of the house and the man of God decided, we're going to pay our tithes first. And it was an either or. I know I'm ticking somebody off. I know it. Guess what? I'm going to keep on talking about this because God's wanting to pinpoint some things out. And let me just explain something to you. I don't have a jet, and I'm not a millionaire. But let me tell you, if I did have a jet, I wouldn't be hiding it. I would fill it full of food, and we'd figure out where to drop some food off to people, okay? That's what I do with my jet. I live in a double-wide trailer, and you know what? I'm good. And I also want to explain something. Parish Christian Center does not now, and it has not ever done its books, its own books. We don't do that. There has now, and there has always been, honor and integrity in the finances of the church. What is, I don't do my own books. That means every receipt and every dime that is spent from this church, it is accounted for. It is turned into legal people, a CPA, and they have done our books. And it has always been that way since 1987. Why am I explaining to you the inner guts of this ministry? Because I don't have anything to hide. When I explain to you that you need to be a tither, I understand that I'm probably offending half of the church. And that's the half that maybe isn't tithing. And the other people that aren't offended, those are the tithers. Some people are decided, we ain't never coming back here. You know what? Truth will be preached here no matter what. Amen. No matter what. Your family needs to see you doing the right thing. And the right things that they don't see you do, that's going to be a problem for them when they have their own families. I would like to get to where people in this church, you're not hurting because you got grown kids that are acting dumb. Where does that start? You know where it starts, Angel? It starts with me and you when we got these little 8 and 9-year-old boys and we make them do the right thing. See, Angel had to do something that was very difficult for her Wednesday. Can I share? See, I'm pulling that bro A move. He'd mention something and then he would say, can I share? Like you can say no. See, you think I'm bad? You should have sat under him, man. This dude was bold as garlic. That's what it takes to pastor, okay? I'm getting there. Angel has a teenage boy. Wednesday night, here comes the praise and worship. I don't feel like dealing with him. He's done hurt me in my mom's spot, okay? The guy let him in. So Kelly, I know you're offended, and I just got all over him. It's not profitable, and it's not reverent for you to make a hard job to your pastor. And for years after that, God dealt with me, and he corrected that area in my life because what I understood was if I really wanted the best for Carson, I was going to make him honor and respect people that were over him. And when the pastor said, you're doing wrong, then they were doing wrong. Here's why we should be reverent. Verse 24, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering. See, God's not going to ask you to respect him and to honor him and then never help you. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. See, a lot of people want their cake and eat it too. They want to do wrong and then think that there's no consequences and God never has to correct them. Look here, just be reverent and be as holy as you can and be. Try to live a life that's pleasing to God. Because here's what you know. God is faithful. He is not going to turn his back on you. He is not going to not help you. But there are times where you slow down the process to things because you don't have holiness in a certain part of your life or reverence or honor in a certain part of your life. Go with me to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There are four characteristics that are pointed out in a man named Job. It says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. What does it take to be reverent? Blameless, upright, to fear God and to shun evil. We are talking about somebody that had so much going right for them. So much that the devil came to God and he said, if you took everything from Job, he would curse you. And God said, you cannot take his life but test him. Look here. Here's how the story ended. God gave Job everything that he lost times two. He restored it. He gave him more than what he had because at the end of the day, the devil was wrong about him. The little compromises in our life, oh, God will understand. Yeah, he's going to understand that you know what you're doing is wrong and you're still doing it. When God, the holy God, says, I want you to be holy, and we know there's areas of our life where we're still not being holy, and it's just a matter of we like what we're doing, God knows that we know. You know, God knows the amount of knowledge that people have, and he takes that into consideration. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. In another translation, it says, it is the beginning of wisdom. Of wisdom. See, sometimes we can't make good decisions because there's a lack of wisdom there and we don't know which way to go and we don't know what decision to make. But the Word of God tells us that the fear or the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? You want to know how to make wise choices? Begin to reverence God in your life and I'll promise you, you're going to start making some reverent choices. Because it said, it is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. You have to decide, am I a fool? Am I a fool? Or am I somebody that I'm intelligent? See, a fool hates wisdom. They don't even want to hear the right thing because they know they ain't going to do it. Don't not. She's going to preach about reverence again. I ain't going to that service. Well, I believe that this is the last message on reverence, so you're good. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. I'm going to describe to you a church. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened by the Holy Spirit and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. What is this verse meant? It means that this specific church in this specific time enjoyed a time of peace. Have y'all had some times in your life here lately where you haven't had a lot of peace? There's been a lot of things going on up in your life. I'm not saying it's because you're irreverent. I'm just saying keep it real with yourself. See, wouldn't you rather have a time and enjoy a time of peace? That sounds good. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear or the reverence of God. See, everybody wants a certain type of church. We want all the programs. We want all the this and we want all the that. You know what? It's really not up to the pastor. It's up to the people and how reverent they're going to be in their life, in their private time, in their services, in their child raising, in their marriages. See, all of these things are calling for your reverence. What does God require of us? Reverence, honor, respect, for us to be holy. It says that the Holy Spirit helped it grow. See, how much of the Holy Spirit do you really want in your life? See, if somebody says, I want as much of the Holy Spirit in my life as I can possibly get, you know what you're going to do? You're going to, in every area of your life, you're going to try to be reverent. You're going to try to be reverent. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're going to look at Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear or in reverence, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. See, you're going to condone the world or you're going to condemn the world, but you can't do both. You're going to condone the world or you're going to condemn the world, but you're not going to do both. And see, he made a choice to live in holy reverence. God told him there was a storm coming. There was a flood coming. There was no sign of rain. There was no sign of anything. Until there was a sign. And by then it was too late for everybody but Noah. See, sometimes reverence is doing something that sounds insane, but God told you to do it, so you're going to go with that. That is reverence. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God. And then it tells us how. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to read that to you in another translation. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. See, you serve an unshakable God with an unshakable kingdom. God is not moved by what problems that you face. Why does he want reverence out of you? Because see, he's given everything for you. What does he want from you? Everything. Everything. And do you see how thankful that we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn. How many of you know that those that he chastises, he loves? If he loves you, he's going to chastise you. He'll correct you. He'll help you. That's a part of love that God has for you. Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? He will burn up all of the filth in our life. He will make a bonfire and he will say, get all your filth over here because we're burning that. Because see, that's a part of you that I want to take out of you and I don't want up in your life anymore because see, that's the old man. I want you to be that new creation that I told you that you were. Where does success for the believer start? Reverence. Reverence. If this message has offended you, I'm going to remind you that it's probably actually convicted you. Convicted you. Y'all stand to your feet because I'm going to pray over you. It's not the goal to offend people, although that happens. And here's what I'm going to say. See, a lot of pastors, they get their violin out and they start playing you that song and get you saved for the seventh time, and I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that type of religion don't work. I've been in the ministry my whole life and it don't work. But here's what does work. And here's what I'm going to say. If any part of this message has offended you, I want you to place the part that offended you, and I want you to tell God about it right now. Start telling Him. And I'm going to start praying. Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask You right now to pour and saturate Your wisdom over every part that could be offended in these people. God, I ask You right now to reveal to them why this message was preached. God, I ask You to do one more thing. I ask You to help people to live it out. Because, God, that's the hardest part of any sermon. God, I ask that You'd help people to live it out right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord put His light on you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We are having service tonight at 5:30. There is lots.